First up tonight, I'm lucky enough to hear Bob Ryder tell stories regularly on Sundays at New Covenant Community Church. Bob Ryder works as a pastor and a professional dog trainer and has been married to Susan for over 32 years, ascending order of importance there. They live in Bloomington with their 8-year-old Labra daughter, Daisy. Bob is also an aspiring percussionist studying congas. I hope I say this right. Cajon? Cajon? Udu? And hybrid drum kit. Please join me in welcoming Bob Ryder. Looking out at the road, rushing under my wheel. Looking back at the years gone by like so many summer fields. 65.
We're gonna let the whole song play. Right? Hi there. My road trip story starts back in 2000. The roots of it go back to 2002. It was a sad occasion, the start of this road trip story. It began when Susan's dad, Jerry, passed away in the fall of that year, 2002. And not long after that, Susan and I invited her mom, Phyllis, to come and live with us full-time if she wanted to, or part-time. The offer was kind of an open invitation to build as much of her life with us in our little house at that time up in North Normal as she wanted to build. So the time came when she was ready to do that after she settled some of her issues and affairs back in California, and by the middle of 2003, we had created a little room. We'd remodeled a room for her down in our finished basement, and we made a plan to bring one of her cars. She had two, of course, with she still had Jerry's car and her own, to bring one of those vehicles back here to Normal so she could really just have her own full life. She could come and go as she wanted and just consider our house her home or second home as she pleased. The date that we planned, or the week that we planned for this road trip to happen, it was kind of a tight schedule. I had a meeting on the calendar for the end of the week. So the idea was going to be for Phyllis to take her car in and get it checked out, get the oil change, make sure the tires are right and so forth, make sure everything worked. And the week before, and then that Monday, I'd fly out to California, the earliest flight I could get, and Phyllis and I would jump in her car and we'd start heading east right away. No layover there in California, just get on the interstate and head back to Illinois. It was gonna be a tight trip. We had to get back, you know, make this whole thing happen in 3 days from takeoff at the airport to getting back to our driveway. And it was gonna be challenging, but certainly doable, and it was for a very good cause, bringing my mother-in-law, Susan's mom, to live with us. Okay, you need to know a little background in order for the rest of this story to make sense. Back up a few years, back to I think 1998, when Susan and I invited her mom and our niece, Laura, to go on a family vacation with us. We liked spending time with them, and the invitation was for them to come and take part in this road trip, the four of us together. The agenda of which was what Susan and I planned. We had places that we wanted to see, and we had people that we wanted to visit, and we had a date that we needed to be back in time for, and totally glad to have Phyllis and Laura along with is going to make the trip better, but our itinerary was the trip they were signing up for. Everybody agreed to that. One of the things I love about my mother-in-law, one of the many things, she was an adventurous spirit, indomitable spirit. She was always up for everything. She, road trips and parties and getting together with people spontaneously. To her last day, she was always up for whatever. She's still an inspiration to me. And that being her essence, this very adventurous spirit that she was, Phyllis noticed opportunities on this vacation that Susan and I invited her on that Susan and I hadn't really noticed. We had either missed them or dismissed them. And so the trip kind of got, what's the polite word for it? Co-opted, negotiated, manipulated, railroaded, taken over by Phyllis, who just found herself unable to prevent herself from having experiences with her granddaughter, thank you very much, that she might never get the chance to do again, never mind what we had agreed to back in, Illinois when we started. Okay, back to 2003. Phyllis and I have this plan for this road trip, right? We have this agenda. And I did catch that early flight out to California. No bumps or problems on the way. Landed out in Southern California right on time. My sister-in-law, Betsy, picks me up at the airport, gets me over to Anaheim, where Phyllis lives, and it's still before noon Pacific Standard Time. This is going well. I can see myself easily making this meeting that I've got waiting for me on Thursday back in Normal. And there was no traffic yet. It's kind of the middle of the day. And so Phyllis and I jump in her car, and it's before 1 o'clock. We're already on our way back east. This was like a no-frills, no-turnaround, or no-layover kind of trip. The vehicle that we were transporting from California back to Illinois is a 1991 Ford Escort station wagon. I am not kidding. It's parked right outside. When you leave tonight, take a look. It's right there. And say what you want. I mean, it was once upon a time, shinier and new. Never mind. It is a reliable vehicle. Holds a lot of cargo. Comfortable enough to ride in. Not a lot of power in this car. It's got four little cylinders. And so Phyllis and I leave her house, and she's surrounded by interstates. You could walk to any of them. And so we're pulling onto the 91 and trying to get that up to speed. It takes a little while. They have, what's the thing they say about cars now? 0 to 60 in, 6 or 8 seconds or something is supposed to be good. This is about a minute and a half project for the Ford. 45. 48. 52. So it takes a while. We finally get it up to cruising speed. I'm 65, watching cars and trucks explode by me. Finally, I'm up in traffic. Set the cruise control, sit back. 60, 55, 50. Oh, my gosh. Lean on the gas pedal again and wind it up. Takes a little while to get it back up to 65. Phyllis and I are chatting about this and that. Set the cruise control again more carefully this time. Back to 50, 45. Oh, my goodness. So I turned to my co-pilot, Phyllis. When you took the car in last week, did the guys at the shop say anything about the cruise control? And she thought about it. Yes, they said it's not working. I thought I wasn't expecting that much forthrightness. And I said, they were right. And they didn't fix this because... I told him it was just a car I'm going to ride around town, and you don't really need cruise control, so. Okay. So I'm slightly, not a lot, I promise, slightly frustrated about the idea of 2,000 miles in a vehicle with no cruise control and 40 squirrel power. But never mind that. We have other assets. We have things going for us that kind of outweigh the problems with the cruise control. One of those is Phyllis is an excellent conversationalist. She can chat about anything. She's good-natured and, cheerful. And the other thing is we both have bladders like a camel. We can go a long time. We've been in New York City. I think they still have a plaque up to the amount of hours we spent traipsing around New York without ever using a restroom. And we can go a good 3/4 a tank of gas time and time again without needing to stop to use the restroom. So we've got that going for us. And the trip starts to unfold nicely, and we're making good time. And we get through, over the first hurdle is the mountains, and the little four-cylinder thing makes it up that somehow, and then down the other side and through the desert. Things are going well. I can see this meeting I've got to get back for looming in the horizon. I'm going to make it. No problem. This is going to work. Until I thought, this is a can't miss, until it turns out you can only ask somebody to suppress their true nature for so long. It turns out about 600 miles. Because somewhere around the border between California and Arizona, there's a series of billboards strung out, you know, for hours. You see them every so often saying, visit the petrified forest. And don't miss the petrified forest, 75 miles until. And then they're spaced out around exits, I guess, you know, 41 miles to the 12 miles to the petrified forest. And as we're chatting, every time we come up on one of these billboards, I kind of lose Phyllis for a little bit. We're visiting about this or that family and plans and excited to get back to normal and what's waiting for her. And then one of these billboards comes up and she sees it and she's kind of silent for 30 seconds. So I kind of feel her inner Dora the Explorer rising to the surface. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not going to make this meeting if we're going to see. It's not just going to be the petrified forest. There's a lot of stuff to see between Arizona and Normal. So I make myself a little plan. I hope it's going to work. And I kind of know Phyllis a little bit. We've been, you know, friends and family for a long time. And petrified forest, don't miss it. Next exit, it's about a half mile ahead. And I see her thinking it over. And it's a quarter mile ahead. And she's, Bobby? Yeah, hon. She's still conflicted about it. 30 seconds, 15, 10 to the exit. Bobby, have you ever seen the petrified forest? Past the exit, and I go, yeah, I did see that once when I was a kid. It was just okay. That changed the conversational routine a little bit for a while after that. She was disappointed. Well, I have told this story a lot over the years. If you've been with me at Christmas or Thanksgiving meals or anything, you've probably heard this story before. I might even think maybe I've told this story too much. I used to go on about the time during this road trip where I had built in a little errand into the excursion where we had to go off-road, a little dirt road, a little washboard road to go back. I was checking out logistics for a wilderness trip that I was going to lead later that year, had to find the put-in for the river. Phyllis wasn't that happy about that little Ford Escort vibrating on this washboard road. That put a little dent in her attitude, I think. Also because it felt like, I think she thought that was an extravagance for me. I had to get back for this meeting, and we're taking time to go look at the river. But we had agreed to this. This was the agenda we had agreed to. Remember that part? And then I'd go on sometimes when I tell this story about how the efficiency, the pit crew-like efficiency of rest stops where, you know, the whole agenda was to get in. I'd be pumping gas. Phyllis would be in there and use the washroom. By the time I got in, she was ordering the food. I'd be in and out of the washroom, back in the car, and onto the highway in less than 15 minutes. That happened the first few times. But then after we missed the petrified forest, the turnover time went up. And up, and then we had this, the last stop, gas stop we had to make is in St. Louis. But from then on, we had enough gas to get all the way home. That was at least 45 minutes, if it wasn't an hour. I'd be pumping the gas, and Phyllis is taking the occasion to organize this nice collection of napkins from different fast food restaurants she keeps in the glove box just for emergencies. And then she finishes doing that, and I'm back out in the car. You know, she's making her way in, and I see her perusing the aisles for little souvenirs of St. Louis. You know, the Cardinals and the Arch, this little snow globe she's looking at, thinking, there, come on, let's go. I've got a meeting. And then she couldn't decide what she wanted to eat. She's standing in line for a while. You know, nobody's in front of her. Come on, we got to go. And then she strikes up a chat with the people coming in the door as she's going. I see what she's doing. Mind you, Phyllis was never anything but absolutely cheerful and delightful, good conversationalist. She was never, you know, at least verbally or outwardly bitter about the disappointment with the petrified forest or a car getting shaken up or what have you. But I think it's at least plausible, going all the way back to the shop and the mechanics, that I think something in her mind told her, if there comes a point when it's clear that I'm not going to make it back in time for this meeting, well, gosh, that frees us up, and we can do a little exploring. We can look around a little bit. I mean, if you're not going to make it anyway. So St. Louis is just the culmination of her frustration, good-natured as she was about it. Here's the thing. As many times as I told this story, it used to seem to me that the point of the story and the spirit in which I told it was, you know, my bringing the project in on time. By the way, it turns out we did make it back to normal just in time. I just got in the door and said hello to Susan and went out and made it to this meeting. And I used to think that was the point of the story, that despite the sort of cute, passive-aggressive foot-dragging by my co-pilot, my disappointed co-pilot, I still brought this in on time, and I used it as an occasion kind of to make what I hope was lighthearted fun of Phyllis's foibles. The story feels really different to me now. I tell you the truth, this really feels like the first time I've ever told it, because now the point of the story seems much more to me to be a cautionary tale about an opportunity lost. Phyllis passed away back in 2011. There are no more road trips for us. We had all the adventures we were going to have. And it occurs to me that when Susan encouraged me to tell this story a couple weeks ago when I was invited to do it, and she said I ought to do it, even at that point, I really didn't understand the point of the story. I think it only hit me this past Monday. I was thinking about the story, and I found myself wanting to rewrite it in my head. If I could go back and do it over, I certainly would. The main point that I'd highlight then is that as we're passing that petrified forest sign next exit, Phyllis would have said, "Hey, Bobby, have you ever seen the petrified forest?" And I would have replied, if I could do it over, "Not with you, I haven't," as I pulled off the exit and we went down to explore this really neat feature of the Southwest. I really have been there. So Monday morning comes along, and I'm thinking about this, and I realize that I've never told this story right before, and believe it or not, I have my face buried in my iPhone with this to-do list that is sort of my perpetual slave driver, full of things that I have to be on time for, I have to arrive, have to schedule my life to be on time for. And, you know, kind of looking, trying to figure out, all right, how am I going to do this? What can I move around on my calendar? And sitting there at my feet is our Labrador, Devin mentioned before, my 8-year-old Labrador Daisy, looking up at me, glancing back and forth between a bag of treats that we have on the counter and some toys and some agility equipment we keep in our finished basement downstairs. And I heard Daisy say to me, she kind of got into my vision a little bit behind what I was looking at. She said, "Daddy, have you ever seen the petrified forest?" And I set down my to-do list and I said, "Not with you, I haven't." So may all of our road trips be filled with spontaneous detours and unplanned adventures that throw us off our schedule and give us more time to take a trip with people we love. Thanks.